when we understand the just these simple truths of things like we've been looking at, rest, walking in love, building the Word, spending time with the Word. Boy, those are the things that are become a part of your life and a part of your heart. And it's what enables us to really manifest who and what we are in Christ. It also enables us to stay put. When the storms hit, when things get wacky, because that's part of this life, that we're in this world, and that's just part of how this works. A few weeks ago, we looked at some things regarding rest, the rest that we have, and we looked at some scriptures in Hebrews and some other places. And it's really, it's the fundamental truth of the gospel regarding Jesus Christ, that there is absolutely nothing that I can do to be righteous before my God, to earn salvation. It was all done by Jesus Christ, period. I am righteous before God himself because of what Jesus Christ did. Then we looked at thankfulness, and thankfulness is one of the things we considered is how vital thankfulness is to a successful walk and for a born again one to continue standing. Unthankfulness breeds bitterness. It breeds a lot of things that aren't good. But thankfulness is it's born from an honest and true recognition and acknowledgement of what's been accomplished for us in Christ. It's something that really it comes from the heart. It's the result of building. It's the result of building those things that God has done and that God has made you in Christ. And then that thankfulness is really an attitude of heart. No matter what's going on, it doesn't mean I'm thankful for everything that's happening, but I'm thankful for my God and what he's done and what he's made me and what I have as a result of what Jesus Christ has done, regardless of what's going on around me. And then we considered some things about walking in love and light. Having been given the life from God, Holy Spirit, we're instructed to be imitators of the Father and to walk in love. We don't share in the works of the children of darkness anymore because we're a child of light. And being a child of light, we can now see what the will of the Lord is by way of Holy Spirit and God's Word, and then walk in the will of our Heavenly Father. One of the things that I thought about and I didn't read, and this is something that's so basic and you guys understand, but I'm just going to read this to you from John, Gospel of John, chapter 13. When Jesus Christ is with his men near the end of his life, he said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." Now, this kind of love that Jesus Christ is referring to is going to require Holy Spirit. It's going to require that life from God. And so, in light of these things, I wanted to spend a few minutes anyway looking at some things regarding the one body and the family that he's called us to. This age of grace started on the day of Pentecost, on that day of Pentecost recorded in Acts chapter 2. And it began with those 12 men with one accord. When Peter went to speak, it says they all stood together. Okay? And then Peter spoke. Peter preached that which the Spirit of God was working in him. First time that had happened. And this period of grace that we live in, which began on that day of Pentecost, is going to end with all who have ever believed on the Lord Jesus Christ since that day being gathered together with Christ. Okay? We are in this together. And that's what I want to just consider some things, because these are things that are, you know, to really get this and to really see this and to really where it has a real impact on your life, it takes a little building. It takes a little growth. It takes a little change in how you see yourself and then how you see others in light of what Christ has done. Like I said, we're going to start in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, but I wanted to read something to you before we go there. And I'm just going to, you don't need to turn there. But this is from 1 Samuel 30. And I always give blessing and stuff like this. There are many times in the Old Testament where you see God's characteristics. And you learn about our Heavenly Father, you know, how he thinks, how he sees things. There's a record in 1 Samuel, at the end of 1 Samuel, and some of you may be familiar with it, but it was when David was still being pursued by Saul, and he went to the Philistines, and he ingratiated himself to the king of Achish, who was a Philistine. These were the mortal enemies of Israel. But, you know, David and Spirit of God was involved. There were a lot of things involved in this. But the bottom line is this king gives David the city of Ziklag. The Philistines, they end up doing battle with Israel. And this is the battle in which Saul and his sons were killed in. David feigned himself as wanting to fight against Israel with the Philistines, but the Philistine princes wouldn't allow it. So they sent him back to Ziklag. Well, they had been gone for about 3-4 days, and when they got back, everything was gone. They had been raided. Their wives, their stuff, everything. So, make a long story short, they find this servant, and they ask the servant, do you know which way they went? And he knew. Well, David inquired of the Lord as to what he should do. And God told him, go. So he went. There were 600 men with David, and they were going against the Amalekites, who had come in and done all this. 200 of those men, in going into battle, were so tired, they came to a river, they didn't even have the strength to cross it. So David said to these men, you stay here, guard the stuff, the 400 of us will continue on. So they did. And they got all the stuff back. They defeated the Amalekites. They got everything back. Nothing was harmed. And when they came back to the river where they had left these men, there were men of Belial among David's group, men of the world. And they said, it is not fair that we share our stuff with these men who did not go into battle. And David, who had the Spirit of God, said, let it not be so. Let it not be said in Israel. These men will share as fully in what we took as we did. We will all share as one. And from thenceforth, that was a statute in Israel. It's really something. But what you see is you get a glimpse of the way God thinks, as opposed to the world, as opposed to how men think. So with that in mind, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to look at some familiar verses. But I think it's a good thing. This is something that we really need constant reminder of, and it's because of the flesh. One of the great weaknesses of the flesh is that feeling of being needed, or you feel like you're not needed, or you're not important. That is true of everybody. That is true of everybody. It may not look like it, but it is, you know, because that leads to another thing where we tend to compare. And, you know, so you look at this guy and you say, oh, man, surely he knows. You know, I wish I were as this or that. But all of those things are contrary to what God has done in Christ. And that's what I want to spend a little time with this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to pick it up in verse 12. All right, it says in verse 12, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink one Spirit." That's how that should read. This harkens back to what this chapter opens with. It is the same God. It's the same Lord. It's the same Spirit. We've all received the same thing from the same God. We've confessed the same Lord together. Verse 14. "For the body is not one member, but many." This is kind of neat. Verses 14 through 19, which we're going to read here, speak to the great diversity of the body. We're going to see this again in Romans. But it really speaks to the great diversity of the body. And then when you get into verse 20 and read on, it is how, while it is very diverse, it is one. And it's like our physical bodies. We have many parts, but it's one. It's my body. And you don't want any part of that to not work as it's called. "For the body is not one member, but many." Verse 14, 15, "If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body?" And this is addressing the comparing kind of thing. Boy, comparing is, it's a nemesis of the flesh. And we're going to consider this in Romans 12 here in a minute. But for now, just suffice it to say, there is no comparing in the body of Christ. There is no competition in the body of Christ. If the whole body, verse 17, were an eye, where were their hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God tempered or set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. See? And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Whether you stay with the stuff or you're part of the group that grows into the battle, it's all one. And now those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need. But God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. All of these things are less honorable parts of the body, but those are, that's senses, that's flesh, that's not from God's perspective. It says that God has tempered the body together. I'm just going to take a minute to explain that. You have steel is made from iron and carbon. If you have iron, it's heavy. It's somewhat hard, but not real hard. It doesn't keep an edge. There are many things you can't do with iron. But when you mix carbon and temper, you temper that together, you get steel. And the strength and the versatility of steel is greater than the sum of its parts. And that's what God has done with the body of Christ. He has tempered it together. We are one body. We're one body. We're in this together. Every one of us, were born dead. Every one of us were children of wrath. Every one of us. Every one of us had to confess Jesus as Lord and make him Lord. Every one of us had to receive the life from God. We've all received the same thing, and we're headed to the same place. Okay. No one came from a better place than anywhere else, because dead is dead. And no one of us is going to end up in a better place than anywhere else. We're going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, you see. And that's how we want to see this. It's together. The senses tend to compare. The senses tend to judge. But one of God's great characteristics is he's not a respecter of persons. And because we have the Spirit of God, and when we build God's word in our heart, we get to the place where we're not a respecter of persons. See, we see one another in light of the accomplishments of the Lord Jesus Christ, the price that he's paid, and that each one of us is worth that price. I'm going to read verse 24 again. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether when one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. One member be honored. All the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans 12. Each one of us are participants in this body of Christ. And you know what? Just because I'm not the eye, and I want to be the eye, and I say I'm not part of the body because I'm not the eye, it's not true. Boy, these are just simple, basic truths. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service or your logical service. And this is in light of everything that came before this. All that Christ has accomplished, the righteousness of God that has come, not by my works, but by simply believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2 says, and be not conformed to this world or to this age, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove or put to the test what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And verse 3, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Meaning that's that which God has given to be believed. It's referring to Christ, those things that have been laid out before we got here to Romans 12, the believing on Christ and the result of believing on Christ. That's what we believe. This is the solution to comparing. This is what kills comparison among one another in the body of Christ, is to think according to what Christ has done. To see myself as God sees me. And if I build that into my life and into my heart, I will begin to see you as God sees you. See? And then I can be free from the temptation to compare, to judge, to posture, to play the games that people play. We're just free from that. And now we're free to love, just to love, because you were worth the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's just so beautiful. For as we have many members, verse 4, in one body, and all members have not the same office or function, so we, being the many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Having then gifts, differing according to the grace given to us, whether prophecy, prophesy according to the proportion of believing, or another ministry, let us wait. But basically it's get busy operating that grace that God has given to you. Or he that teaches on teaching, he that exhorts on exhortation, he that gives it, do with genuineness. He that rules with diligence, he that shows mercy with cheerfulness. Now these are examples, but every person has been given grace by God to serve in the body of Christ. And it's by way of spirit. Let love be without hypocrisy, dissimulation, his hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to the good. And this love without hypocrisy you're not a respecter of persons. When I'm thinking more highly than I ought to think, whether of myself or of somebody else, both are wrong. The proper way to think is to see yourself in light of Christ and what Christ has done. I was dead. I was broken. I was a child of wrath. I was destined to perish. Now I have eternal life by what Jesus Christ did, but by nothing I did. And each one of us is in the same boat. It's a great boat too. So it goes on. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to the good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. Literally, that means leading the way and showing one another honor. Boy, it's so awesome. Showing one another that honor. Not slothful in business, but fervent in spirit. And that slothful in business, it's the word for diligence. The word translated business in King James is diligence. It is an awareness, or this issues from an awareness of how fleeting this life is. And that the life that we've received from God that was won for us by the Lord Jesus Christ is eternal life, which will begin with our gathering together unto him. You know, in Peter, it says to hope unto the end in 1 Peter. Hope unto the end. And that word end means not just the end in time, but it's nth degree. We hope, we put all our eggs, so to speak, in that basket. See? Recognizing that the life that we have from God, that life that's hid in Christ, that life that's going to be revealed at his return, that is yet to come. The greatest bondage, or one of the great bondages that people find themselves in, is putting all their stock into this life. And really, this life is about serving in the body of Christ in love, in view of the eternal life that we have born within. And that should always be our perspective. Not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in the hope, is how it should read. Patient in tribulation, continuing instant or constantly in prayer. And that rejoicing in the hope, boy, it's a lot bigger. It's a lot bigger than, oh man, he's coming back. Can't wait till he comes back. That rejoicing in the hope, it is an inner heart's rejoicing in knowing where our life is hid. And that regardless of what is going on in our own lives, regardless of what's going on around us, regardless of situations and circumstances we may be dealing with, we have a quiet strength that issues from that rejoicing in the hope of our Lord's return, because that day is at absolutely coming. Verse 13, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. You know, just be giving. Be giving. You know, I think of this in terms of hospitality or serving people. You know, don't allow yourself to count the cost. Just count on God. Because this is a carrying out of his word. It's a carrying out of who we are in Christ. See? And when you're serving or you're taking care of God's people, you serve them with love. You serve them with everything you got, like it was Jesus Christ himself. See? And God will see to the rest. Then it says, bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. And weep with them that weep. See, this kind of heart issues from building this one body thinking into your heart. And when you see another, you know, going through something, man, you're going through it too, you know. And when people are going through things in life, we want to be in there, and we want to be in there helping them if we can, at the very least by prayer, but being aware of our brothers and sisters. Hey. And be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate, and be not wise in your own eyes. It basically means associate with the humble, you know. And be not wise in your own eyes. Verse 17, recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. And if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto, and it should read, the wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. He will. We don't do that. We represent our Lord Jesus Christ, who came to save all men. That's who we represent. That day of judgment that Jesus Christ will come with and execute, that's future. Okay. That is not our job. That is not our responsibility. That's not who we are. And it is not what brings honor to our Lord Jesus Christ and to our God. The justice of God right now is Jesus Christ and the righteousness that he brought. And that's what we want to exhibit to people. Therefore, verse 20, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head, meaning you'll warm him. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. This is who we are. This is what we are. And it's just so critical that we grow and keep growing in this. You know, I can understand the one body. I can understand Jesus Christ is the head of the one body, but to build it into my heart and to live it to where that's how I see myself. That's how I see you. That's my prayer. And I pray that prayer. I pray it all the time, less and less. I want to see less according to the flesh. Right? I want to see more according to what God has done in my own life and in the life of others. And that's what begins to free me, you know, just from the stuff, just the stuff, the comparing, the competition, the stupid things that hold us back sometimes. You know, even feelings regarding self when I approach my God. See, I begin to shed myself from that because I see myself in light of Christ. See? So this is what we want to do. This is how we want to see each other. And this is how we want to walk, you know, toward one another. So you know, that's what I wanted to share. But these are big deals.